Today on Jay Sekulow Live, breaking news, the Trump administration announces new sanctions on Russia.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The administration has now issued its response. Treasury announcing new sanctions against Moscow for interfering in the presidential race of 2016, as well as other cyber attacks targeting the U.S. and our allies, including critical sectors of our nation's infrastructure.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
One of the most interesting things in this release is this hack, cyber attack that deals with the U.S. electrical grid. It is said, U.S. officials tell us, to be part of an ongoing cyber attack on the U.S. electrical grid, and this is a part of a pushback on that. There is real concern that these cyber attacks are continuing, not just on the election meddling, but on infrastructure inside the U.S.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Breaking news, if you have not been following the news in just really the last couple of hours, the U.S. government and the Trump administration through the Treasury Department, which handles these matters, has issued and reported new sanctions against Russia, not just individuals, not just non-state actors, but also state actors in Russia, including their intelligence agency, the FSB, for not only the election meddling, but even ongoing, as we heard in the opening of the broadcast, attacks on electrical grids, interference in U.S. and businesses and operations there that have cost the United States economy billions of dollars. And so ongoing past attacks, this was a law that was actually utilizing a law signed by President Trump to specifically target Russian Federation actors, as well as, I think interesting to point out, the 13 Russians and the corporations who were indicted by Bob Mueller, and we've talked about those indictments on this broadcast and how it would be very difficult to ever bring them to justice in a U.S. court. Now you have the sanctions against them. That is a bit more, that is actually more biting for an entity which does not necessarily have to arrive in the United States and show up and then get arrested at an airport for traveling. They're not going to, I don't think they're going to make those mistakes. But if you stop their business activities from being able to operate through our banking systems and being able to directly go through, work with any U.S. entities as well. So broad, we're going to go through the specifics of this, get into what it means. I think we use this term a lot, sanctions. You see it in the news all the time on issues like Russia, on North Korea, on issues like Iran with the nuclear deal, what sanctions are lifted, what sanctions stay in place. But how do they actually impact these governments? And you see very strong statements, so I'm sure that will be coming out of Russia condemning this move. It's a stronger move than how the UK has responded to the chemical weapon attack on two of their citizens, maybe a third as well, who has already died, two who are in a critical condition. And that is specifically referenced in the release from the Treasury Department. Just to go through it quickly, I mean, I think the opening, the administration is confronting, encountering malign Russian cyber activities, including their attempted interference in U.S. elections, destructive cyber attacks, and intrusions targeting critical infrastructure. This comes from the Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. These targeted sanctions are part of a broader effort to address the ongoing nefarious attacks emanating from Russia. Treasury intends to impose additional CATSA sanctions informed by our intelligence community to hold Russian government officials and oligarchs accountable for their destabilizing activities by severing their accounts to the U.S. financial system. This is the most, the punishments that I think have the most impact on these actors who are not necessarily going to come in the jurisdiction of the United States, but who utilize Western banking systems, and so many of those banking systems are tied to the U.S. Network, freezing their assets. You will see, again, this is a major move by the U.S., and I would say a stronger move than the U.K. has taken in response to what happened on their own soil. So we'll tell people to get involved in the show and interact today, ask questions, get questions in.
That's right. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684 to have your voice heard today, 1-800-684-3110. Also on ACLJ.org, Facebook, Periscope, we are broadcasting live there right now, video and audio, so you have pretty much a TV show you can watch. If you want to change it up, that's on Facebook.com/JaySekulow, Twitter and Periscope today on Jordan Sekulow. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So we have now got breaking news, if you're just joining us on Jay Sekulow Live, and we are taking calls about this, questions about this at 1-800-684-3110. But the Treasury Department, the Trump administration, has announced sanctions against the Russian government and Russian individuals and corporate entities. So you've got people, businesses, and what I think is even the probably the most important part of this is you actually have specific sanctions on the Russian government. So you're not just saying... like that Internet Research Agency, which we knew was operating the trolls and these bots on Twitter, right. They're included, but they're also including the FSB, which is the Russian intelligence services. And it's putting out broad bans on doing any kind of business and also freezing assets that are under U.S. control. It's come to light because of the issues with the election, cyber attacks, including the U.S. now formally accusing Russia in this of carrying out the most destructive cyber attack in history in billions of dollars in Europe, Asia, and the United States, the NetPaya attack. So I think all of this specifically, what happened in the U.K., what we have seen over the last 15 months of the administration with Russia being in the news a lot, I think there's a reason why Russia's in the news a lot. It's because of these activities. We have kind of been distracted by the direct political influences. But I do want to make it clear that the U.S. government has taken steps against the people that Bob Mueller found to be indictable from Russia and the Russian entities that the special counsel believed were acting illegally in the U.S. And the Trump administration had no issue with specifically targeting those groups and making them inoperable in the United States. We're taking phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones. We got a good call coming on line one to kind of set it up.
Yep, Robert in Maryland on line one. You're on the air.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Jordan, and also hi, Logan. I wanted to ask the both of you, what are the sanctions that the United States government through the Treasury Department has issued against Russia, and what are the purpose of the sanctions? In other words, what are the sanctions actually supposed to punish Russia from doing against the United States?
So this is something the Russians specifically, no countries like. You have to be a kind of superpower to be able to impose these two, and the U.S. has that. So we have such a sophisticated banking system that so many of the even Russian individuals are using Western banks Western banks oftentimes are operating inside the U.S. as well. So not just U.S.-owned banks, but banks that are operating divisions inside cities like New York. So if you've got your funds flowing through that, it freezes them. So you cannot access your accounts. This was a big issue with Iran. Iran had those frozen billions of dollars. And remember, part of the sanctions deal was allowing that to be re-released. It was not new money for Iran that the U.S. was giving. It was money that the United States froze for Iran, just to use an example, after the Islamic Revolution there. It was Iranian assets that we said, we're not giving back to you because of this situation that we're in diplomatically. And again, these are kind of the strongest steps you can take without taking, you're not taking military action, but you are fundamentally saying these individuals, so the 13 listed by that were indicted by Bob Mueller and entities are included, but also the Russian FSB, what's also the main intelligence director, which is the GRU, which is the Russian military intelligence organization, and specifically laying out why they're included. The sanctions laws, too, Dan, you mentioned this during our break for our Facebook and Periscope audience. These were put in place by President Trump, signed into law very early in the administration, and now are being specifically utilized to go after the Russian state actors and the individuals as well.
Yeah, I think it's really important for people to understand this, Jordan, because literally, I think it was the first week of the Trump administration, there were more than 50 sanctions leveled against Russian individuals. That was under existing sanction authority. So I think the important point there, Jordan, is that the previous administration, if they were taking this seriously, because remember, we're mostly talking about things that happened during the last administration, they could have sanctioned these individuals and did not. The Trump administration did in its very first week. But Jordan, the ones that we're talking about today, these are sanctions that are levied under a law that was passed since then. This administration went to Congress and said, we need more sanctioned authority, specifically as it relates to cybersecurity, and a lot of that gets into the election meddling. Congress gave them that authority, and that is the authority that's being used today. So there's really two tiers that date all the way back to the first week of the administration, and then they asked for new authority to reach further. Congress gave them that, and that's what we're seeing implemented today.
Yeah, so it's you will see this today in the news, likely in news reports. CATSA, and this is that acronym stands for Countering Americans' Adversaries Through Sanctions Act. And as Stan said, you had initial existing laws on the books. Obviously, the executive branch has the power to issue these sanctions. But what Congress, I think, wanted to do, and as Stan said as well, is expand, give that specific power, even though oftentimes the executive branch will already claim that they have the power to do this, but the Congress specifically authorizing sanctions on the Russian Federation that came out of the law that was signed by President Trump. A lot of this we don't hear about too much until today. And I think, again, did we hear that there were 50 individuals, entities that were sanctioned by the Trump administration the first week of taking office? I don't think that's now getting re-reported in the news. But I think it's important context when we have so much of the politicizing of Russia. When we have our president, he was with the Irish prime minister today leading into St. Patrick's Day, specifically was asked about Russia and said, we're letting the UK take the lead. But even here that we agree with their conclusion that it appears that it was the Russian government. The Russian government's not going to admit that. The UK expelled diplomats, but the United States has now taken direct actions. They referenced that today as well. And I think that is extremely important that in the Treasury Department release, they talk about destabilizing activities from Russia, and they include that in addition to countering Russia's malign cyber activity, Treasury continues to pressure Russia for its ongoing efforts to destabilize Ukraine, occupy Crimea, meddle in elections, as well as for its endemic corruption and human rights abuses. And this is where it's key. The recent use of a military-grade nerve agent in an attempt to murder two UK citizens further demonstrates the reckless and irresponsible conduct of its government. So I think that is also very key here is we're not just looking back into what was happening in 2015 or 2016, but we're looking at what is ongoing right now with what the intelligence community has told us is something they've taken very seriously, but the past administration did not spend very much public time on. I mean, that's where I get a bit frustrated is we're starting to see now through this, even the press release from the Treasury Department specific accusations against the state entities in Russia for major intrusions into the United States, into our economic system, into our electrical grids. I mean, all the issues we kind of talk about on periphery, they're specifically saying that Russia's involved. That's why we're issuing these sanctions. We didn't hear a lot about this from the previous administration, including they supposedly knew what was happening during the election, and they kind of blew that off until it got back into the news. They all said, oh, yeah, we knew about this.
They either decided, Jordan, not to take it seriously, or they did not have the political will to address it. I mean, the only other alternative to those two is that they were actually supportive of what was going on. I'm not accusing them of that, but we know that a lot of this evidence was known and that the previous administration basically decided to take a hands-off approach. This is the opposite approach, and I think it's desperately needed, this change in posture. And, Jordan, I would just inject one other thing into this. You mentioned the joint response that the United States, the United Kingdom, and France and Germany issued to that nerve agent attack that happened in the United Kingdom. So I think that President Trump and this administration are taking a multi-tiered approach. They're issuing domestic sanctions, but they're also building that international community to come against some of these threats. And I got to tell you, it's 180 degrees different from the approach that we saw when these activities were actually taking place in 2016.
That's right. We said the president was meeting with the prime minister of Ireland when this came up. So here is Byte 20. You'll hear reporter first, followed then by the president.
Who was behind this, Mr. President?
It looks like it. I spoke with the Prime Minister, and we are in deep discussions. A very sad situation. It certainly looks like the Russians were behind it. Something that should never, ever happen. And we're taking it very seriously, as I think are many others.
So I think that what is important to point out there is the specific question that was asked by that reporter is, do you believe that Vladimir Putin is responsible for this? And the president of the United States says it appears that way. That is not just accusing the Russian Federation. That's accusing a specific leader inside. So we're not saying, you know, the state actors, that it's a big country and they don't always know what's being informed. But it's the president of the United States acknowledging how the leadership we know in Russia is all coming from the top. They don't have the separation of powers like we do in the United States. We're taking your phone calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I think it's all tied to the past actions, but also probably sped up because of what has happened in the United Kingdom.
That's right. We do have, like you said, a couple lines open at 1-800-684-3110. We'll play more clips that happened from that meeting. We'll play exclusive videos during the break. We'll continue the conversation if you're watching online. That's how it goes. It's a little bit different of experience if you watch online at ACLJ.org, Facebook, or Periscope. We do have a couple lines open. That's at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. If you're just joining us, there is breaking news this morning, about an hour and a half before the broadcast. There was the initial news report that the Trump administration has issued sanctions on Russia. Now we're getting more specifics from the Treasury Department, and we've been walking that on through the broadcast today. It does involve, so the Trump administration not walking away from what was going on during the election. That's specifically the first item mentioned by the Treasury Department is that these destabilizing activities on our election systems. And it's also got into cyber attacks on our infrastructure. And so I think just to kind of sum up where we are today, the Trump administration has sanctioned more than 100 people and entities under the Ukraine and Russia-related sanctions laws and authorities, including 21 individuals, 9 entities, 12 subsidiaries that are owned 50% or more by previously sanctioned Russian companies. So you're talking about even businesses that have got significant ownership interests, but are not even 100% emanating out of Russia. Probably one of the issues there with the UK is that they have many businesses in the UK which have those kind of not 50%, but a third, where they're invested into oil companies, and so there's a more direct financial tie. And the U.S., I think, with a stronger economy, can take these actions more quickly. Obviously, this was being planned. I say this because the 13 individuals that were indicted by Bob Mueller and entities from Russia are all included in these sanctions. So also the Trump administration not trying to take away from what the special counsel has found on Russia. I think that's an important point, Than, as well. It goes against every Democratic narrative in Washington, D.C., as if they're somehow trying to undermine the special counsel. And now we see the Trump administration has used that as a blueprint to target these entities in a way. I'll tell you, these are never going to be people you could prosecute. We said that on the broadcast. They're not coming to the United States to have their day in court. They're just going to avoid U.S. prosecution. But by going after their money that's flowing through U.S. financial institutions, freezing their assets, this is something Putin, it gets under his skin. He's always talking about it, Than, as the U.S. sanctions that they believe is these acts that are illegal acts. But obviously, it has an impact there, and it goes against a lot of political narratives that we've been hearing.
Well, and I would add to that, Jordan, I mean, the sanctions came down today, but they were sanctioned under a statutory authority that was passed and signed into law by President Trump before those indictments came down from the special counsel. So your point about this being something that the groundwork has been laid for and it's been a planned rollout is very true. I think the administration actually led on this. And the other point I would make related to this, Jordan, is that these are individuals and entities that will seek to harm the United States again. So it is time for us to focus on those threats, like with sanctions like these. I think we've gotten distracted by a lot of other things, you know, other narratives, other political agendas. These are entities and individuals who will seek to do our country harm again. And it's time for the Congress to follow the administration's lead on this and really focus in on making sure that the next election cycle is safe, as are our other interests.
Yep. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. We are taking phone calls on this matter, so I want to get questions, comments. I do want to say, too, for the second half hour, we're going to bring in one of our policy experts from the ACLJ, who's an expert in economic policy, to walk through, as an attorney, how these sanctions work. Because we use this term all the time, and we say that it has these consequences, that you can do kind of different levels of crippling sanctions, medium sanctions, kind of low-level sanctions. This one going after the entities of the Russian government, as well as individuals and private citizens, as much as you can try to make those distinctions.
Right.
We're going to get into that in that second half hour, so you don't want to miss that as we kind of walk through those steps and take your phone calls about it, because there are a lot of questions on what this means at 1-800-684-3110. We can take a call now.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to line 5, George in Maryland. You're on the air.
Hey, George.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Good.
I want to say, first of all, I really appreciate your program. I do the best I can to support your organization.
Thank you.
I really love you. My question is, when we expel their diplomats, they expel our diplomats.
Yeah.
So what may Russia do in retaliation for these type of sanctions? I know they're not just going to sit back and just take it without trying to do anything to retaliate.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen before. Now, I want to couch this in a specific. There has been a change that is going on in the last few weeks between how the world is handling Russia. So in the past, Russia has not been able to take these kind of measures against the United States specifically because way too much of these economies in the world are based on our economic system. So you think about all those entities that are operating there. All major U.S. corporations are operating in Moscow. We have an entity in Moscow through our European Center for Law and Justice, the Slavic Center for Law and Justice. It's a, since the fall of the Soviet Union, it has been a big economy and opening up. So they have a tougher time, though, responding because they don't control the financial institutions of the world, the major financial institutions. They don't have the ability to say, we're no longer doing business with the United States today. But I will say there has been a change. So I don't want to say that will never happen because it has gotten much more aggressive between the two countries. And obviously, we're now accusing Russia specifically of billions of dollars of damages by their government on our financial system. So we're not just talking about spying to get information. I think we expect that from countries who are not our friends, is that they will spy to try to get, what are we planning? What are we going to do? These are specific to say they are trying to bring down our financial institutions, actually causing financial harm to the United States. And we talk about billions of dollars. You're talking about something that can impact every single one of us and seriously impact the investments, the 401ks, all of those programs. So we want to take your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110 is the second half hour.
Yeah, a good comment came from Alan. She said, thank you for keeping us aware of what is happening. What do you think Putin and the government will do about this?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting questions. They're going to come out strongly opposed to this. I'm sure that at the United Nations as well, we've seen our ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, make the statement very directly that what happened in the UK with that chemical weapons attack on individuals could happen in New York if the Security Council doesn't take more steps, so the global community. So I think Putin will denounce it. They can take those diplomatic steps where they expel individuals. They even sometimes they hold properties. We're holding a property right now in San Francisco that was a Russian. And so this that kind of gets into it as well. Russia embassy is not just Washington, D.C. They have entities all over the United States and consulates. Yeah. And one of their longest standing was actually in San Francisco because of a ties to tech and a longstanding immigrant community there.
Yeah.
We took that back. We have not yet allowed the Russians to come back in.
So
we
they're went thrilled.
So they were upset about that. But what did we see? We saw diplomatic responses. We didn't see taking these actions, which, as I want to point out, I think you're getting a lot of attention today because Russia gets a lot of any attention if you mention the Trump administration. But in the six initial days in office, when no one was really focusing on these specifics of U.S. government, they took steps against 50 individuals and entities in the first 6 days of the Trump administration, utilizing the laws that were already existing, then signed new laws to expand those powers. And again, I think that we need to explain, and we're going to get to this now in our second half hour coming up on the broadcast, what do these sanctions do? So you don't want to miss that because we use the term, we talk about the entities not being able to do business, but how it impacts, again, these state actors and individual actors as well. And that's coming up in our second half hour.
That's right. If you don't get your second half hour of JSEC Live on your local radio station, you can find us broadcasting live online. That's at aclj.org, facebook.com/JSECulo today on Twitter and Periscope, at Jordan Seculo. Make sure you're following all of us. That's at Jordan Seculo, JSEC, Logan Seculo, Than Bennett, ACLJ on Twitter. Make sure you like all of us on Facebook, where you can also get this show each and every day and updates throughout the weekend when we're not on the air. And subscribe to the JSEC Live podcast. Download the ACLJ app. But another half hour coming up right after this break. If you're watching online, stay tuned. We got more coming up in the break.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
yesterday at the United Nations, as we come back to the broadcast and welcome back to JSEC Live in our second half hour, we heard from our UN ambassador a specific call to the Security Council on Russia. And then if you're just joining us, I'll get into how the U.S. government has just responded in the last few hours this morning as well. But listen to Nikki Haley yesterday talking about a global response to how the Russian government has operated inside the U.K. with this chemical weapons, use of chemical weapons against targeted individuals. Take a listen to this, and then we'll explain the breaking news today out of the Treasury Department.
If we don't take immediate concrete measures to address this now, Salisbury will not be the last place we see chemical weapons used. They could be used here in New York or in cities or of any country that sits on this council. This is a defining moment.
So that is the United States ambassador to the UN, chosen by the Trump administration, sitting right next to the, you know, with the Russians there, with the rest of the world watching. That was yesterday, saying that we've got to respond. I mean, those kind of steps, that kind of language is about as strong as you can get before you're going to a conflict kind of situation. So you take all those measures you can, because you don't want to get involved in that. Obviously, nuclear powers, longstanding kind of, you know, we wanted to be post-Cold War, post-Soviet Union. We're kind of getting back into that operational mode once again, and we're seeing these very aggressive actions that the Trump administration is outlining for us that the Russian government has been involved in our country, and of course in the UK with the attack, which has gotten a lot of news as well. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's take a call right off the bat.
Let's go to Raj in Vienna, Virginia, on line 4. You're on the air.
Hey, Raj.
Thank you. What a remarkable synergy is appearing on all these fronts, be it human rights, be it the nuclear and the sanctions. But you have defined sanctions so very well. We have needed to emphasize all fronts. And please, thank you for doing that. I mean, beginning from the Hyde Amendment to the most favored nation treatments, which we gave China and other countries in years past,
yep,
to bring it to bear now on North Korea, that we are standing, we are proclaiming liberty in that land. So thank you, Jay, for all that you're doing. This is lovely.
Thanks, Raj. And I think this is specific too. It does have that global impact. So I think it's a very informed statement, because you're also explaining to the rest of the world how the U.S. government will respond to these actions, whether it's cyber intrusion, which sometimes we're just kind of understanding. I think we now understand that as the American people. 10 years ago, maybe didn't have the same kind of understanding. But now we understand that these infrastructures are what our financial institutions are based on. So if you go after electrical grids, if you go after shipping mechanisms and you go after the electronics systems, you can cause billions of dollars in damages.
Yep.
So the Russian government is specifically being accused of directing those activities against the United States, as well as the election meddling, but even ongoing issues with the cyber intrusions into our systems costing billions of dollars. We are taking your phone calls about this, and we're going to get into we've explained, but how the sanctions specifically work as well, coming up in the next two segments of our broadcast.
Yep, that's right. We do have a lot coming up, and you can get involved by giving us a call. That's at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, and Than, in Washington, obviously this has gotten a lot of breaking news attention, because to some extent it goes against a political narrative too, that we've heard from Democrats on the Intelligence Committee. The Trump administration is not taking Russia seriously, and now they're taking a stronger stance than the past administration did on these individuals, and specifically tying it to even the election interference.
It goes against a political narrative, but Jordan, it's also probably the only way that Russia is going to be held accountable, because along with the sound you played from Ambassador Haley, remember, Russia is a permanent member of the Security Council,
yeah,
so you're not likely to get sanctions through there. The only way you're going to exert pressure is through domestic sanctions, like the United States is now taking the lead on.
All right, so folks, what do you think about this step by the Trump administration issuing these new strong sanctions on Russia? Love to get your thoughts on that at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on JSEC Live.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
This morning, the U.S. Department of Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Controls issued new sanctions on five Russian entities, 19 Russian individuals connected with repeated and, quote, malign Russian cyber activity, including attempted interferences in the U.S. election and cyber attacks on our critical infrastructure, utilizing laws signed by President Trump, including the Countering Americans' Adversaries Through Sanctions Act and an executive order, previous executive order, as well on the ability to go after these individuals, again, utilizing electronic activity and obviously those who are cyber-enabled activities. So we're specifically kind of getting our laws up to speed with the new ways people are going to war. And we call these intrusions and again, serious activities. This is the cyber warfare, if you will, where you can inflict billions of dollars in damages on a country. And I did want to explain on our broadcast, because we've gotten a lot of calls about this, and how does this all work? I think we can take the phone call coming in, and then we'll start explaining that as well on line three.
Yep.
And it ties into this second half.
Yep, let's go to Eric in California. You're on the air.
Yeah, gentlemen, yeah, thank you for all the work that you do. This is an excellent example of how you really educate and explain to all of us, and in this case, you're elaborating on the sanctions and the number of entities involved. I think my question is going to fit in perfectly with the economic guest you're bringing in, because my question is what I think is about a business transaction. A lot of what you're talking about is security-related things, so in the way that we might describe as actual attacks from the Russian government. And my question is, to what extent can we invalidate this dirty Uranium One deal that was executed under the Obama presidency with Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State? Clearly, extracting uranium is an ongoing process. It would seem to be something we could stop now. And the other point I wanted to make is many of these kinds of business entities, whether it be lumber interests in forests or in mining interests, many of this is actually on U.S. government land. And it would seem because of that, it's U.S. government land, it would seem we could just invalidate this action right away.
Yeah, I mean, in the specific to the Uranium One deal, that it was one of those issues. We have heard from our Department of Justice this, Eric, on that specifically to answer that question. As we've discussed it pretty thoroughly on this broadcast, as news has developed on Uranium One and putting those pieces together. What we do know is that the Department of Justice announced that they were reopening and taking another look at what was happening there. Now, in our law enforcement, we've gotten used to this kind of leaking culture. We saw it yesterday at the FBI. We haven't talked about that, mentioned that on the broadcast, but Andrew McCabe, we've discussed him a lot on the broadcast. It came out that one of the FBI offices of their personnel integrity came out and said he should be fired days before he will be qualified for his pension. These are, again, bureaucrat offices, not political appointees, taken very seriously by the FBI. That news kind of comes out. We're used to seeing a lot of that. If a real investigation is being opened, we should not know much more than we may be looking at that. I think that's as far as we want our Department of Justice going on these kind of matters, because you don't want to inform everyone and everything what you're doing before you take actual actions. And I want to talk about the actual actions we've now taken against Russia. If you want to talk to us on the air, it's 1-800-684-3110. We're bringing Harry Hutchinson into our broadcast, our senior policy analyst at the ACLJ. And Harry, we want to talk, we've gotten this question probably 4 or 5 times already today, is what do we mean when we say sanctions? How does that actually impact these companies or individuals?
Well, that's an excellent question. And under the law, the sanctions will result in two basic things. Number one, asset blocking. That means that the United States will block transactions with respect to property, and ultimately, I believe, with respect to financial transactions within the banking system. So under asset blocking, the exercise of all powers granted to the president by the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, to the extent necessary, he would have the power to block and prohibit all transactions in all property, interest in property of a person determined by the president to be subject to sanctions. In addition, individuals who are listed would be excluded from the United States. And thirdly, those individuals, to the extent that they already have a visa, they would be subject to visa revocation. Now, if we go back to the Uranium One transaction, that is going to be difficult to fully unravel, in part because the Russians have utilized individuals who may indeed have a Russian ethnicity, but they have Canadian citizenship.
Yep.
And so it's very, very complicated to unravel these deals. It's very likely that the Uranium One transaction should never have occurred in the first place.
Yeah, and we know, Harry, from these instances where you come out, the sanctions are first kind of broadly targeted, as they explain through, you know, you've got the entire FSB listed here, which is, we know it kind of is, it used to be more commonly known KGB after the fall of Soviet Union's turned into the Federal Security Services. Obviously, a very strong entity in in Russia, but also operating businesses. And so when you could broadly list them, their intelligence director gets listed. And the 13 individuals and entities that were listed by Bob Mueller. I think that we've tried to highlight that on the show today, but that the Trump administration is not trying to ignore or dismiss what the special counsel's team has unraveled when it comes to Russian interference or nefarious activities, as that's specifically called. And I think, in a way, you can file whatever charges you want, but this is actually how you can get to you can actually affect these individuals when you don't have them necessarily individually in your jurisdiction, but their
Absolutely.
Assets are.
Absolutely. So it's important to note that the Trump administration has been much more vigorous in targeting Russians who've engaged in misconduct than the Obama administration. Clearly, the House Intelligence Committee report that was recently issued chided the Obama administration for its timidity. It's clear that the Trump administration is going after these bad actors where it counts, in their wallet. Many Russians, they hedge their bets on their ability to remain in power in Russia by holding many assets in the West. And to the extent that we can deprive them of access to the American or Western banking system, these sanctions have real bite. And it is clear beyond question that the Trump administration has been much more aggressive than the former administration in going after these bad actors.
Yeah, and taking the information that's been gained by special counsel's investigation, other investigations going on, and also knowledge from, of course, our own executive branch security institutions. Dan, these were based on laws, executive orders, authorized by laws authorized by Congress, executive orders, expanded on that. It emanates from an executive order that was initially signed by President Obama, but then Congress went back and gave more power to the executive branch. President Trump signed that into law and then issued the executive order implementing that law. These are the kind of executive orders that are the normal processes. You have to execute the laws that get implemented. But so Congress authorized this, and now in the first year of the Trump administration, you see taking action based on past actions, activities that happened before they were in office, current actions as of just last week with what happened in the UK. So you're seeing, again, multiple steps. We're not just this is not saying what you did 10 years ago. So, again, we're going to ban you. It's what you did last week.
Well, I think there's two main things here, Jordan. And the first thing is while these activities were actually taking place, the Obama administration had the authority to roll out the sanctions that the Trump administration did. They did not do that. They took a hands-off approach. And Jordan, in many cases, and you know this, the same people who are now criticizing President Trump for being soft were advising President Obama not to roll out the sanctions that President Trump did. So then it wasn't as if that was enough. Then Congress said, we want to give you more authority to issue additional sanctions. They passed that authority, and now President Trump is rolling it out. And the last thing I would say, this conversation about Uranium One, Jordan, there was a process in place to stop that transfer, that sale of rights to take place. The Secretary of State, the Treasury Secretary, the Attorney General, they all sat on that panel and could have stopped that transfer. None of them did it. So, Jordan, while I do think these sanctions will be able to free some of those assets of the individuals involved, that transaction should have never taken place. And the government that was in charge in the United States sat by while it did. They didn't just sit by, actually. They approved it.
Yeah. And so as we go into our last set of the broadcast, I'll ask this question. Even if you're on Facebook and Periscope, you put these responses in there, but also through our phone lines at 1-800-684-3110. Do you believe the Russia is at a point where it's trying to provoke some kind of conflict, not just on the cyber front, with the United States and our allies, actually provoking conflict? And to some extent, we've seen that in Syria already, where we're standing right there, and we've seen the activities there. That came up at the Security Council as well yesterday. Do you believe that is the case from Russia? 1-800-684-3110. So as we come back in our final segment today, I'd love to get your thoughts on that. Is it Russia trying to provoke a direct conflict with the U.S. in the way that we see conflict in the conventional sense? 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live, our final segment today on the broadcast. And we've kind of come to this point in the show where, as you put all this together, how Russia is being accused directly by the U.S. government. I mean, these are not allegations. They don't have to prove this in a court of law because the U.S. government has the power to issue these kind of sanctions. And you don't have to be the way our financial systems are tied to the world. When you issue these kind of sanctions on businesses and individuals, just go back. You could Google Vladimir Putin and sanctions and see how many times this comes up directly inside Russia domestically. So we sometimes get the Vladimir Putin speeches, and we see that on our news channels with the dubbed over commentator. But if you go back and look at Russian news and also even the Russian English news, this is what is constantly being addressed in Russia as it specifically relates to the United States. Let's go to the phones, Logan, take a call in our final segment, 1-800-684-3110. Is this leading to a potential and a more conventional kind of conflict as what we saw in the UK that's mentioned these sanctions as well? We'll get your thoughts on that as well.
Let's go to Gloria, who's calling in North Carolina. You're on the air, Gloria.
Okay, I just wanted to say that if we knew that they were meddling in our elections, why did the previous people in power here in the United States not take care of it right away? Because if they're in our elections, how can they not be in everything else? Yep. And why instead do we sell them land with uranium on it? It's just not right.
Yeah, well, Gloria, I agree with you. We were not informed about this until after it occurred. I mean, obviously some intelligence you're not going to find out about immediately, but others that you may feel is having this massive impact. The Obama administration, I'll go to Harry on this and then Than as well from both aspects. They had a very different approach to how they were dealing with the world. On a lot of actors that were, we drew red lines in the sand on Syria, we didn't respond. The Trump administration comes in, Syria used chemical weapons, we responded immediately with Tomahawk missiles, something the Obama administration wasn't willing to take that direct action against the Assad regime while they were targeting ISIS. The Trump administration has been more confrontational, direct to the actors. Whether it's again, on a battlefield or happening in the cyber realm.
You're absolutely right, Jordan. Essentially, the prior administration allowed Syria, Iran, and Russia to push against an open door. In other words, the Obama administration appeared to be reluctant to respond. Indeed, it preferred so-called negotiations or acceptance. Remember the Obama administration's acceptance of the Crimean invasion, the Ukrainian aggression by Russia. They did virtually nothing but offer a professorial lecture. Again, Vladimir Putin will not be deterred by inaction. And so I would point out that the UK's immediate response to the latest chemical attack in the United Kingdom is particularly weak. Expelling 23 Russian diplomats is not enough. And that will not deter Mr. Putin. I think the Trump administration has determined to take a stronger line against Russian aggression.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about what happened in Ukraine, an annexation of an entire region in a sovereign country that Vladimir Putin was in yesterday. And so you've got to take actions which is going to get the attention of the Russian president, and you could see, I mean, Than, through the rhetoric as well. I think that's why Washington took it so seriously. When this broke this morning, they take it seriously because they know if you follow what's happening in Russia, which again, not everybody's doing all of the time, but domestically, this is the issue that constantly it gets under their skin. It has a real impact on their domestic economy. It is not just something that we kind of talk about esoterically as these word sanctions. They impact other countries. We don't feel it the same because our financial institutions, we're blessed in the United States to kind of be the leader there. So these countries aren't being able to respond that way. They try to do it through cyber attacks because they can't just go out and say, you're not doing business with us yet. Right.
Well, yeah, sanctions from the United States, Jordan, have a more dramatic effect on the rest of the world than any other country issuing similar sanctions in return. And look, I would just point out the contrast. You've played some of the sound from Ambassador Haley, but this has been a multifaceted approach from this administration. So on the one hand, in the last 8 years, you had an administration that if this meddling was taking place, they either didn't take it seriously or they lacked the will to respond, that sort of that appeasement approach to the rest of the world. And then when they had an opportunity to stop a nefarious transaction for the rights to that uranium, the Attorney General, the Secretary of State, the Treasury Secretary, they all seem to dismiss the warning signs that were there and let that transaction take place. By contrast, Jordan, what do you have here? You have Ambassador Haley going to the Security Council where Russia has a veto. So the Security Council can't really pass sanctions on Russia, and she's still calling them out in that forum. So even in an international community where Russia can block a move, Ambassador Haley is taking the pitch to the rest of the world that, look, the United States is going to lead the way on these sanctions, but you better follow behind. Jordan, it's a different world for Russia and Vladimir Putin now.
Yeah, I mean, here is our ambassador to the United Nations yesterday talking about, again, this, the chemical weapons utilized in the UK on those two citizens, and maybe a third as well who has already died from the attack. Take a listen.
Time and time again, member states say they oppose the use of chemical weapons under any circumstance. Now one member stands accused of using chemical weapons on the sovereign soil of another member. The credibility of this council will not survive if we fail to hold Russia accountable.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Lynette's calling in Long Island. You're on the air. Lynette?
Oh, thank you so much. Yep. Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. I regularly pray for each and every one of you. My comment is that I'm so excited to see the strong stance that the Trump administration is taking toward Russia. My question is there something specific that I as an individual citizen should be doing on the ground in support of this?
I mean, these will go into place. So these sanctions will go into place, the corporations that are affected by the individuals. I think a big part of this is the kind of narrative that we have been that has been preached at the American people by partisan activities that, you know, this is, not taking Russia threat seriously, that the Trump administration is not responding. Then we see these direct, tough responses. We saw this question coming in as well, Lynette, that was coming on Facebook. And I think to Harry's point, as we just have a minute and 20 seconds left, how are we defining Russians
here? Yeah, a lot of people are asking that. Is Russians Putin? Is Russian?
Russians is the government and individual actors as well. So these sanctions target individuals who may not have direct, like they're not government employees, but they're very difficult. You can't just say government, non-government. So you're talking, obviously, we're not talking about all Russian people. But you're talking about state actors as well as individuals.
Absolutely. So the Russian government has its tentacles directly or indirectly in many entities. And so it's very, very important to go after each and every individual and to attempt to go after each and every organization connected to the Russian state.
All right, that's going to do it for today's show. If you have more questions or comments, you can get them in on social media. Make sure you're tweeting us, following us. That's at ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow. Download the ACLJ app and subscribe to the Jay Sekulow podcast.
We have an update, too, on Pastor Brunson situation there. You get used to when you're dealing with these countries where the rule of law is not completely implemented. That's up at ACLJ.org. We talked about that issue as well. Talk about another country that's supposed to be a U.S. ally with the United States and Turkey. That's at ACLJ.org. We will talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.